feel like I've been punched in the inner gut.
I know.
And outer gut.
I'm sorry about that.
No, you're just the messenger,
Nicholas
Steve.
Jalmerson from
no
the Blackhawks.
Blackhawk.
Where's he going? Like a care.
Arizona.
That's just sad.
All right.
Ruined my 4th of July.
I'm done.
All right.
You can go home now.
We're done for the day.
That was your best.
Thanks. All right, it is time to talk television, and who better to discuss television with than Alex Zelbin, managing editor for TV Guide. Hi, Alex. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on again.
Great to talk to you. A couple of things. There were a few shows that debuted last night that I would love to get your take on. I don't know if you got to see The Gong Show, but they brought back The Gong Show last night. What did you think? Did you see it?
So I didn't watch it, but a couple of people in the office did, and we're talking about it this morning. It's weird, huh?
Very weird.
For those who didn't watch it, Mike Myers is hosting it, except he's not actually hosting it. The story is that Will Arnett, who is a guest on the first episode, found a guy named Tommy Maitland, who is a British comedian, and brought him over for this. So the entire thing is Mike Myers in character, like straight out of Austin Powers,
right,
for hosting the show. It's a weird element. People are pretty split here. I'm curious to hear what you guys think.
Well, Alex, did you see the original? Because you might be too young to have seen the original.
Well, I am 12 years old. So,
you sound 14.
I've caught episodes here and there, so I'm familiar with the format. And I think this holds pretty close to that, right?
Yeah, it's got the same... There's a dreamy slash nightmarish quality that the first one had, where it's so surrealistic and bizarre... And they were able to swing that last night. They really were. And I liked Tommy Maitland. I read other reviews from people saying that that was distracting. And if he got Mike Myers, why doesn't he just be Mike Myers? But I think it added an extra level of weirdness to the whole proceedings. I liked last night's hour. I'll watch it again.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say there's so many game show revivals happening right now on TV. All of the old properties are coming back. In a certain way, anything you can do to make it weirder and make it stand out, like Mike Myers and Layers of Latex, is a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was a fan. I was almost not looking forward to seeing it because I liked the first one so much, and I went, oh, don't ruin my memories, but... Last night, it really did pick up the tradition. I was telling Wendy before, there were a lot of things Chuck Barris used to do on the original Gong Show that they reincorporated in. You know, the way that Chuck Barris used to go, we'll be back with more stuff. He did that yesterday, and the same kind of dancing during musical acts. It was all there. It was very bizarre, but I liked it. I thought it was great.
There's also a ton of stars coming up. The first episode was Will Arnett and Zach Galifianakis and
Ken Jeong.
I think. Yeah. Ken Jeong, thank you.
Who, by the way,
who's
Tommy?
That?
Ken Jeong is the he's the actor who was in the Hangover movies, and he was on he had his own show, Dr. Ken. And Tommy Maitland kept confusing him with Kim Jong Un. He thought he was Kim Jong Un throughout the show, which was very funny.
Yeah. They have Elizabeth Banks coming up, Joel McHale, Dana Carvey, which should be awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to play that with Dana Carvey and Mike Myers getting back together, whether they'll reference that at all.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be great.
Be fun.
Yeah. All right. So then the other show that I watched last night, and I was telling Wendy this, I didn't even know I had Spike TV, but I heard about this, so I was able to find it. They did there's a mini series of The Mist based on Stephen King's short story, The Mist. Did you get to see that by any chance?
So I'm a huge fan of The Mist. I'm a huge fan of Stephen King's stories, read almost every single one of his books. The movie, if you've never seen it, is superb.
It's fantastic. I agree with you. One of the best of the last 15 or 20 years.
And the ending, too. I don't want to spoil it.
No, because I'm going to watch it this weekend. I'm probably the only person around who hasn't seen it.
One of the best endings of any movie of all time.
Yeah, agreed.
Ridiculously, but it's so good. This, I felt like, did not quite live up to it. I like the idea that they expanded it for TV. They go from people being trapped in a supermarket by monsters to expanding it outwards to a mall and opening up the world. I thought that's great.
Yeah.
That makes for good TV. But I, at least in the first episode, I don't feel like it quite worked. How did you guys feel about it?
Wendy didn't see it. I watched it last night. I thought the first 50 minutes were horrendously bad, horribly written. You didn't believe
really?
Or like anybody. Yeah.
And you stayed?
Yeah. I said, I'm going to watch one episode and I'll make up my mind at the end. And then the last 5 to 10 minutes were really pretty good.
Hmm.
Maybe the next episode will follow those last 5 minutes.
Until I don't want to give too much away, but whatever's in the mist, until that got a little more proactive and started really harming people, it was just such a waste of time. But then once the action took place, it was watchable and fun, actually.
Yeah, as you guys probably know, pilots are really hard to make. There's a lot of business that you usually have to do in them. And in a certain way, I almost feel like the second episode is the thing you need to judge things on.
Yeah.
It's often doing repiloting, which is basically laying the same groundwork as the pilot again so that writers and the actors get more used to it. And my hope, I have a huge soft spot for Stephen King. I watched far too many episodes of Under the Dome in particular.
Yeah.
So, I hope this pans out in the long run, but we'll see.
I don't know what your thoughts are on the new Twin Peaks. I do want to say something to listeners who enjoyed the show. I watched the new ones. I'm all caught up on that. But what I should have done was gone back on Netflix. They have both seasons completely on there.
Of the original.
I should have watched that first, so now I'm going back. I was up till 2:30 in the morning watching the original Twin Peaks, and God, did I want to go out and get pie and coffee. Mm. But it will be so much more helpful if you watch on Netflix the first two seasons of the original, and then go to the new ones. It's really weird. Thoughts on that, Alex?
I agree. It is really weird. I mean, David Lynch, who created the show, has been pretty forward about the fact that, in a way, it's almost anti-current television. We spend a lot of time dissecting things and doing fan theories and talking about what's coming next. He doesn't care about any of your fan theories. You know, he has his own continuity going over the past three seasons and books and the movie, and he knows what's going on, but he has no interest in sharing with anybody else what's going on. Mm-hmm. So you have several characters who are the same characters showing up and disappearing seemingly without reason, and good luck. It's like trying to put together a puzzle, but 13 of the pieces are
one of my favorite lines in the original, and it's so stupid. You have Donna, who's played by Lara Flynn Boyle, and James Hurley, her love interest. He said, "Donna, why did you start smoking?" And she's like, "Oh, I smoke because I'm really stressed out." And he goes, "What stressed you out?" And she said, "Starting to smoke." Oh. It's just so stupid, but it's like going back to watch it again. There's some really funny, weird stuff in there.
Yeah. Alex Zelbin's our guest. He's the managing editor for TVGuide.com. We're talking television. If you want to add in 312-981-7200 by text or by phone, back after this, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, we are talking television.
Alex Zelbin is our guest, managing editor for TVGuide.com. A bunch of premieres yesterday, but I also want to talk about this. It's not premiered yet, but the trailer is out and people are just foaming at the mouth. It's the new series, new season of Game of Thrones. What can mm-hmm. you tell us about the trailer, Alex?
That it's amazing. I mean, people are so excited for the season. It's going to be a shorter season. As they get towards the end game, there's a very limited number of episodes coming out over the next two seasons of the show. And in particular, this trailer, there's a couple of exciting things in it. One thing that people are freaking out about is it seems like Sansa Stark, which is Sophie Turner's character, and Jon Snow, which is Kit Harington's character, may be going to war themselves. This is something that was rumored at the end of last season, that Sansa might be turning to the dark side. A lot of fans don't want that to happen. I'll include myself in that.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly seems from the trailer they're building that up. You know, you got Jon Snow, you got Daenerys, and you got Cersei on these three different sides, and the villainous zombie-like White Walkers north of the Wall being the real enemy, but Sansa might throw a little bit of a wrench in that works. And then the other thing that people are very excited about, there's been this fan theory that the Clegane, which is the Hound of the Mountain, are eventually going to fight,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like from the trailer that's coming, and that's going to happen in the next season.
And they show Peter Dinklage's character opens a donut shop. That's kind of cool.
Yep, that was a surprising moment, but right. I'm glad they threw that in there.
Yeah.
All right, can I start watching it, or do I have to go back and
you
watch
have to start
from the beginning?
From day one.
I have not watched 1 second.
You got to start from the beginning.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to contradict you a little bit. This is something we're actually discussing in the office the other day as we're prepping for coverage, and Yes, you should go back to the beginning. Do you need to read all the books? No. But last season was very new viewer friendly. It was the first season that was done not based on the books, or at least partially not done based on the books. And it was less of a haul, I would say, than the previous couple of seasons. So you still might be a little lost. But if you really want to jump in with season six, that's one way of going.
And we know for a fact, Alex, that it's got two more seasons and then that's done. That's the end of it after two more?
Two more seasons, though, they started working on it in very, very early days. There's no real news about this, but they started working on potentially up to four spinoffs. They have writers coming up with ideas right now.
Yeah.
It's not anything they're going to go forward with until after these two seasons. They're not saying they're going to do all four of the ideas. They may do none of these ideas, but we'll be living with Game of Thrones for a good long while.
How about if they find out that Jon Snow is the brother of Chrissy Snow from Three's Company? Wouldn't that be a good show?
God, you're not writing any of these shows.
That'd be a great show, Wendy. You're jealous.
All right. Three Heads of the Dragon, Three's Company.
Yes, it all makes sense. Idea sold. All right, what do we know about Glow? What should we know about Glow? That's on Netflix, right?
Glow premiered on Netflix today. There's 10 episodes. It's based on the real-life Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, which was a TV show back in the day. Mm-hmm. It's a fictionalized version, and it's great. It's a comedy executive produced by Jenji Cohen, who did Orange is the New Black, and a couple of other things. But it's created by two women, Liz, I'm definitely going to get her name wrong, Flahive, and Carly Mensch. Alison Brie from Community is the star of the show, along with Betty Gilpin, who is just on American Gods. Mark Maron is the male lead, is a kind of sleazy but actually really sympathetic old guy who is directing The Glow, The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Yeah.
I'll also mention, just as a plug, two of my very good friends, Kimmy Gatewood and Rebecca Johnson, are on the show and as main characters, and they're hilarious. So you'll see them. They play old ladies later on as their characters. But it's really funny, but it also has an important, powerful feminist message at the same time. It takes place back in the 80s, but it's still as relevant today. It opens up with Alison Brie giving this monologue that you think is, you know, a very modern power monologue, and it turns out she's auditioning for a part on the show. They say, you read the male part.
Whoop.
And then they say, okay, well, can you read the female part? And the line is, you have a call on line two. And that's it.
Oh.
And right from those opening moments, you know exactly what the show is about. But it's hilarious and ridiculous. In the third episode, there's a party robot, like an actual robot that teaches people how to party. So it's not afraid to get weird and funny and strange at the same time. I'm loving the show so far.
I like the casting. Alison Brie was in Community. She was great on that. She was on Mad Men for a while. She's really good on that. And Mark Maron's an interesting choice, too. So that's fun casting.
Yeah, I don't really know him as an actor, necessarily. I mean, he was on Maron, of course.
Yeah.
But this is definitely a different role for him, and he nails it. It's really, it starts off sleazy, as the typical sleazy director character, but it very quickly morphs into something deeper and more interesting.
What's going on with Jimmy Fallon's mustache? Do you know the answer to that?
It's actually going to be hosting its own show soon. It's going to be hosting a spin-off.
I'm sure it has a Twitter handle by now.
Probably.
I turned it on Wednesday, and I thought it was a clip from a show from 1971. I go, wait a minute, what? That's the weirdest mustache I've ever seen.
Did you go, I don't get Cinemax?
Right, why is this on? Yeah.
He's just trying to launch his own gong show.
But you know what's funny is there was a time on television where if you were hosting a show, facial hair was impossible because there was a perception you couldn't be trusted. But Jimmy Kimmel has a beard. Jimmy Fallon has a mustache. All that's changed, I guess, right?
Yeah, we're in a brand new world where men finally can have facial hair.
Yep, yep, so true.
Shouldn't it look good on you, though? I mean, isn't that something you should determine?
Yeah, there is that. Yeah.
Like, look in the mirror before you go on TV with it.
Maybe. They're bringing back Wet Hot American Summer, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what is that?
Oh, you should. You've never seen this?
No.
You would like this. It's really good.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's a crazy over-the-top comedy. If you ever watched The State back in the day on MTV, it's from that comedy group, or at least some of that comedy group. There's other actors in it, like Janine Garofalo, and Elizabeth Banks is in it. And they have this weird continuity where at the end of the movie, they said, let's all meet back here in 10 years. Now, before they got back to that, they actually, 10-ish years later, did a prequel series that was set earlier than that series. So there were jokes about Michael Showalter, who was on the show, who was at that point 10 or 15 years older, being 5 years younger, et cetera.
Right.
But now they're finally getting back to the point they're doing another series called Wet Hot American Summer 10 years later, where they meet back at the camp. And the first trailer came out. Fans are freaking out because it looks just as ridiculous as the previous series and the movie. It's just great to have the gang all back together.
Yeah, good. I'm glad they're doing another spinoff, another version of that. Alex, it's always fun to talk to you. Hope you had a good time.
Oh, yeah. Thank you guys so much for having me on. It's always a blast.
It's Alex Elbin, managing editor at TVGuide.com. It's always a great read. We'll take a quick break and then some news. And then a Chicago food favorite is returning. We'll explain more later. Bill and Wendy, WGN.